The scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Peter chapter 4, the verses 7 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Listen to the word of God. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, that's the word charisma, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Before we open this beautiful passage of Scripture, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Word of God. What a treasure it is. And in this passage of Scripture, you teach us that each one of your children has received a gift, and we are to use it unto your glory and praise and unto the best interest of one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. O Lord, bless us now this day. Speak to us and speak through us. And may we receive the anointing of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, everyone, according to this beautiful passage of Scripture, each one has received charisma. We have all received charisma. We are all, in that sense, we're all charismatic in that sense. Charisma is gift, a gift. Webster uses that same definition of charisma. And its first definition in the Webster Dictionary is what comes from the Holy Spirit and benefits the church. That's charisma. I was really happy to read that in my Webster Collegiate Dictionary, that's the first meaning of this word. Then it deals with the church. And that's altogether fitting and proper. So we are all possessors of charisma. As I was saying to the boys and girls up here, everyone has received a certain gift. We all do. We all have received it. Whether it's speech or walking or talking or singing, they're all gifts of God. It is a wonderful blessing. It's really, really great how God has gifted his people. He's actually gifted everyone. Every human being has gifts. And the uniqueness about a child of God is that we know where the gifts come from. We're not just lucky that we can talk. We are blessed. We are uniquely blessed that we can speak, that we can think, that we can sing, that we can have fellowship with one another. These are all wonderful gifts of God. It's charisma. So I want to look at that with you. Every Christian has charisma. What is it? Well, it's, as I mentioned, it's a gift. Where does it come from? Where does this gift come from? Well, it comes from the Lord. We're made in His image. We reflect Him. God is the source of every good and perfect gift, as the Apostle James says. God is the source of these gifts. They do not come by nature. We're not automatically given all kinds of gifts. No, they are gifts that God gives to His children, and He gives them to us copiously, abundantly. He gives and gives and gives. God is so generous in His gifts to us. You see that in nature. Think of all the blossoms on a fruit tree. All those blossoms on a fruit tree are potential fruit. I mean, how abundant is that? Think of corn. You like sweet corn. We all like sweet corn. Have you ever counted the number of kernels on a ear of corn? Just think, it all came from one kernel. You plant one kernel and you get a stalk of corn, and on the stalk there's an ear of corn and maybe two. It all came from the one seed. God is so copious. He's so abundant in His gifts to all of us. God is so good. He is the overflowing fountain of all good. So those gifts which God gives, they're called charisma. And you and I have charisma. Now, how are they to be used? The person of the Holy Trinity that is uniquely called to give us these gifts is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one from whom all these gifts flow. In Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, Paul the Apostle says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." Love, joy, peace, and all these others. They all come from the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the source of all these gifts. The Holy Spirit gives them to us. He is the master giver. Jesus said to the disciples, "After I leave, another counselor will come who will give you all things. He will bring all things to your mind. He will abide with you forever. He will teach you the things of the Lord." All the things that God wants us to know and believe come to us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as the Nicene Creed says, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life." The Holy Spirit is the one who gives life. He gives life to a seed of corn. He gives life to a little bird. He gives life to a fish. He gives life to a human being and all animals. Even a worm has life. It's from God. You can't give anything life. Life is a gift of God, and it's given by the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord and giver of life. It comes from Psalm 104. Thy Spirit, O Lord, makes life to abound. The earth is renewed and fruitful the ground. It all comes from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us our gifts. As a little, when a little child is born, the first thing it does really is cry. And what a blessing it is that they cry. And how important a good, healthy cry is. If a child is born with weakness and with a problem, there is not a healthy cry. But for the most part, children are healthy when they're born, and there's a healthy cry. And that shows that the child is healthy. It had lived 9 months within its mother's womb, and then it is born, and immediately it begins to cry. It has that gift. And mom and dad teach that child early in life. They feed it, clothe it, care for it. They love that child. That child is precious to them. Mothers and fathers would give their life for this child. They don't want anything to happen to it that would be dangerous in any way. They love that child. They're going to provide for that child. They're going to make sure that child gets a good education. They're going to make sure that child is safe. And that child has gifts, wonderful gifts. And those gifts begin to blossom forth as the child grows up. Now you and I, we have gone through that whole cycle long ago. And we're still growing. We're still growing. And each one of us has gifts that have to be developed. They have to be carefully trained so that our gifts may be used for the glory of God and for the well-being of others. Now, in the use of our gifts, the Apostle Peter says there's an urgency here because the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. The first responsibility and the first evidence of our gifts are to be toward God. We are to be sober-minded and self-controlled for the sake of our prayers. You see, prayer is so important in connection with all these gifts. And the reason is this: we receive them through prayer. The Heidelberg Catechism asks this question: why is prayer necessary for the Christian? And the answer is that God gives His grace and His Holy Spirit only to those who ask and are thankful for it. As Jesus says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. You have not because you ask not. Ask and it shall be given, full and overflowing. Our gifts come from the Lord. He gives them to us. And He gives and He gives and He gives and He gives. We can never outgive the Lord. He gives all the time. Every day His blessings flow to us. How vast, we just sang that song, how vast the benefits divine which we in Christ possess. We are redeemed from sin and shame and called to holiness. These are not for works that we have done, These all to him we owe. These gifts of God are all given to us out of the fullness of his grace. And you've received them, and I've received them, and we've all received them. And they are to be used, first of all, for the glory of God. The Apostle Peter says, the end of all things is at hand. Now that word end, it can be used in different ways. It can be end in terms of time. It can be used that way. But it's not really that meaning in this text. The end of all things is at hand. That means we can say the end of a battle is victory. We can say the end of a growing season is the ripeness of the fruit, or the ripeness of the vegetable, that it's ripe. That is the meaning of this word. It's ripe. The time has ripened. For the child of God, the Lord has given us so many things, and he is now saying, look, it's time to harvest. It's time to use these gifts. These gifts are really in the process of being mature. You can't pick a green apple, that is, let's say, a delicious apple, a red delicious, and it's green. You can't pick that and eat it. It's sour. It's not good at all. It's hard. You almost break your teeth on trying to eat it. No. You got to wait until it's ripe. Same way with these gifts which God gives us. They have to become mature. We have to be mature. We have to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and the grace of God. We must grow in the sense that all these gifts must come to their maturity. A little child is not yet mature. But an adult, we are mature. And we are to be using the gifts that God gives us as ripe fruit for our Heavenly Father. Ripe fruit. Tasty, sweet, nourishing, beneficial. That's how we have to look at the gifts that God has given us. And the way we receive these gifts is by means of His Holy Spirit, who gives them to us in our prayers, in our worship. Worship is a wonderful means by which God makes us more mature. If we neglect worship, if we neglect prayer, we become limp, and our fruit becomes sour and hard and not tasty and not beneficial to anybody. Worship is the key by which God gives us all these blessings. It's through prayer, through the work of the Holy Spirit. And He gives them to us, and He gives them to us abundantly. Okay, now He begins to enumerate them. Above all, keep loving one another sincerely, deeply. He is speaking about our relationship with one another. It must be characterized by love. Love one another. That word is used in the Bible so many times. The story is told of John the Apostle, who, after he finished his work in the church in Ephesus, he was sent to the island of Patmos. And that was a punishment of his. And so, on his farewell address to his congregation, the old preacher, his name is John the Apostle, the beloved disciple. He walks down the aisle of the church and he says to the people on his right and on his left, and he says, "My little children, love one another. Love one another." What does this love mean? Well, the word love in the Bible has various different meanings. The original word for love is agape. That is the highest form of love. But there are other forms of love in the Greek language too. One is stergane, which is the love of an animal for its offspring. You can never get between a bear and its cub, because the bear will attack anyone who stands in the way of his cub. There's a love there, but it's not the highest form of love. It's a natural love. It's called, the Greek word is stergane. Then there's erotic love, which is sensual love, which is sexual love. That's a love too. But that's not the highest form of love. Then there's phileo, which is brotherly love. That's a higher form of love. But that's not the highest either. The highest form of love is agape. Agape is the Greek word which means the love of giving to one another. It's not a love of taking. It's a love of giving. A love of seeking the welfare of the other. God is love. God is agape. God is that kind of love. This is love, says John, 1 John 4:10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his Son as a full atonement for our sin. You see, that's what love is. That's the essence of love. And we love because he first loved us, and we are to love one another. We are to love one another and go out of our way to help one another. We are to seek the welfare of one another. And it is so beautiful how Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 13. Love. Love is kind. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love seeks all things, endures all things, hopes all things. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. That's the kind of love that the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of charisma, is to produce in us. That we love one another. And then he says, love one another earnestly. Earnestly. The idea of earnestly is almost like a rubber band. It's got to be pulled to its fullest extent. Earnestly. Love deeply. Love one another. I mean, it's amazing. That's exactly what the Lord wants. That's what the charisma has to produce. That kind of love. And then he goes and fleshes that out. And he says, love covers a multitude of sins. Now, what does that mean? That love covers a multitude of sins. Well, I think it means that that we have to be very patient with one another? Think of marriage. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your own husband as the church to Christ. The characteristic of the husband and the wife must be love. Now, are we perfect? None of us are perfect. Do we have faults? Yes, we do. Every one of us has faults. Every one of us has wrinkles in our skin. Every one of us has faults. Do we hold it against one another if we have a fault? We can talk to each other about it. But you know, I remember someone saying to me, in fact, it was a doctor who was talking about weight. That was always a subject. I lost quite a bit of weight. So I don't the doctor didn't talk to me about it so much anymore, but I used to be heavier. And the doctor said to me, you know, he said, you really have to lose some weight. But the doctor was kind of overweight himself. And he said to me, you know, when I point my finger at you, remember there are three that are pointing back at me. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. We have to be very patient with one another. If we point a finger at someone else, there are three fingers pointing back at us. So don't be so holy, a holier-than-thou attitude that you're so much better than others. No, we're not. We also have our faults. We also squeak at times. There are things that aren't quite right in our actions either. Be careful. So he says that love to one another covers a multitude of sins. Does he mean thereby that sin is not necessarily important? No, he certainly makes that clear, and the Bible does in other passages of the Bible, that sin is not good at all. Sin is bad. In fact, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I mean, what a terrible thing that is. But here, Peter says, love covers a multitude of sins. We don't take it out on others the minute something goes wrong. It covers a multitude of sins. We've got to be patient with one another. Long-suffering. Do not enter into conflict with one another. Love one another. Help, be helpful for one another. Do not pay evil for evil, but rather blessing. You see, this charisma, it has to produce that kind of relationship with one another. Love covers a multitude of sins. It does. We overlook things in one another. Does God overlook? No, God does not. But we aren't God. We are to overlook things. It covers a multitude of sins. Do not enter into judgment right away with someone. Be patient with one another. Seek the welfare of another person. Love one another. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. That's the golden rule. So this love that has to characterize us overlooks a multitude of sins. Peter, you know, asked Jesus, how many times must I forgive someone? Seven times? No, Jesus says, 70 times 7 times. We have to always be willing to forgive. As he taught us in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. We have to forgive one another. And all the time. That's what love is. That's what this charisma is. It covers a multitude of sins. And so he fleshes out a little more when he says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Without grumbling. That without grumbling is very important. If I show hospitality to someone and then say in my heart, you know, I'm really too busy. I really don't have time for this. It's just too much bother. It means taking out more dishes. It's going to involve more washing of dishes. No, I'm not going to do it. But I will. I will, but I do it grumbling. The Apostle Peter says, no, don't do it grumbling. Show hospitality. Now you recall how the Apostle Peter is writing to people who were refugees. They were displaced from their original home because of persecution. So they didn't have their stately homes. They were on the run. They were refugees. And so, probably didn't have hotels, probably didn't have motels in that day, probably didn't have money for it. So they come to church. And so they meet other Christians. And Peter says, now, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Invite them to your house for dinner. Invite them to your house, and if they don't have a place to stay, let them stay in your house. It's amazing how much room you can make if you have to. Maybe their children can sleep on the floor, but there's a roof over their head. So show hospitality. Invite them in. Not without grumbling. That is with joy. I'm so glad to see you. I'm so happy to make your acquaintance. Where do you come from? Do you have a family? What kind of work do you do? Just be kind. That's the milk of human kindness. It's so important among Christians. Show hospitality without grumbling, says Peter. And then he says, as each one has received a gift, that's the charisma, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now, what is a steward? Abraham had a steward. His name was Eliezer. Eliezer didn't own anything. Abraham owned it all. But Abraham put Eliezer as the governor, as the master of all of his things. That's what a steward is. A steward doesn't own anything. But the steward is a master of everything that God has given him. So we are stewards of all these many gifts that God has given. We're accountable to him. We're his stewards. And all of these gifts he has given us that we may distribute them, that we may use them without grumbling, that we may be happy to help one another. This is really what Christianity is all about. I just finished reading a wonderful novel dealing with the South of the United States, Southern United States, right after the Civil War, and it dealt with the terrible way in which our brothers and sisters of America, of African American background, were treated. I mean, it was terrible. It's so sinful. We as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we have to love one another. Doesn't matter the color, doesn't matter the culture, doesn't matter the language, doesn't matter anything. We are to show our love to one another without grumbling, tender-hearted to one another. You and I are brothers and sisters together. We're to love one another. We have charisma. We've got to use it for the best interest of one another. And whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. So we have to use this wonderful gift of speech for the glory of God. It's not our glory. It's His glory. And whoever serves, whatever service it is, whether it's playing the piano, the organ, the cello, whether it's singing, whether it's being a deacon or an elder, a Sunday school teacher, whether being a Christian in any way, we are serving by the strength that God supplies. How wonderful is that? You know, God has called me to be a preacher. But let me tell you something. There is only one way I can do it, and that is through the strength which God supplies. And I thank you for your prayers for me. And I pray too every single day that the Lord may help me and supply the strength that I need to praise Him, to preach His word, and to be the kind of person He wants me to be, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. You see, we're not here for our sake. We're here for His sake. We are here for His glory, not for ours. And we must all say what John the Baptist said, He must increase, I must decrease. We're here for His sake. That's what God has given us charisma for, that His name may be exalted and glorified. To Him belongs the glory, and notice, to Him belongs the dominion. That means that God is the governor. He's in control. He has dominion over everything. We're all His servants. We're all stewards of His wonderful, varied grace. And it's wonderful how what variety the Lord has given to His people. The variety. It's amazing. The variety of the gifts that He has given. And so we are stewards of God's varied graces unto the glory and honor of the name of Jesus Christ. You want to know someone who had the most charisma of all? It was Jesus. And do you know, He who was rich for our sakes became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. He's given that all to us for His glory and honor. He paid the ultimate price. He gave His life on Calvary. The deepest point of His suffering was when He cried out, "My God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" He did it for your sake and my sake. That's how we have to live. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. That's the kind of love we have to have. That's the kind of charisma we must use to the glory and honor and praise of our Savior Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Lord, bless this word onto our hearts. Use us, Lord, help us. May we truly be conscious of the fact that we have so many gifts and we have to use them unto the glory and honor of our Savior Jesus Christ. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.